The absolute best times of my life were back in college, back when everything was new and seemed like the world was just wide open, waiting for me to take whatever I wanted from it. It was around 2010, and smartphones were everywhere, and social media just wasn't a distraction anymore. It was the way to stay in the loop, especially Snapchat. If you weren't on it, you were missing out. Parties, hookups, gossip, fights. Snapchat captured everything important that was happening around us, and it moved fast. At first, I'll admit I really wasn't all into it. I preferred face-to-face conversations, real interactions, but then, well, everybody was doing it. And if you weren't, you might as well have been invisible. Staying current on campus was only possible through these apps. That's how I met Bobby. I don't know why yet, but I was just drawn to her. Maybe it was because she seemed like she had it all together. Or maybe it was the way she would laugh at the most ridiculous things in class. I started hanging out with her, at first just casually. You know how it goes. Sitting near each other in lectures, then grabbing lunch, and eventually, we exchanged Snapchats. After that, everything just kind of escalated. I started seeing her at every party I went to. She was always there with a big group of friends or some guy. I never asked any questions, just stuck inside that friend zone, like it was my safety net. But something shifted, as I started thinking there might be more to this. One night, I worked up the nerve to ask her out. It wasn't a big deal, just something casual, you know? Drinks, maybe a movie afterward. But Bobby, man, she just gave me this weird look, like she was torn between laughing and feeling sorry for me. She told me she wasn't ready. She said she'd just gotten out of something and didn't have it in her to start anything new right now. I pretended like I was fine with it, like it didn't sting at all, and didn't let her see the disappointment on my face. I backed off after that, stopped attending all these parties, and didn't try as hard to sit next to her in class. It's not that I was really bitter or anything, I just felt pointless after all that. After a few weeks, I barely even saw Bobby at all, and when I did, she was a mess. I mean, always looking hungover, or worse. I couldn't figure out what was going on with her, but she'd been avoiding me too, so I didn't really feel like it was my place to ask. One day, though, she confronted me, caught me between classes, and told me that I'd been acting weird. Asked me why I wasn't coming around anymore. I told her it wasn't like that, I'd just been busy, and then she gave me this half smile, like she didn't believe me, but didn't care enough to argue. "We should hang out soon," she said. Then with this mischievous grin, she added, "I got a surprise for you." The whole thing just left me feeling uneasy. It definitely wasn't the same Bobby that I got to know, but curiosity had gotten the better of me. We linked up on Snapchat again, just like old times. She invited me to a party. She sent me a snap right after we made plans, a mere shot of her in her underwear. Nothing too revealing, but enough to get my heart racing, my mind wondering where things were going. That Friday, when I went to go pick her up from her dorm, I knocked on the door, and I could already hear music playing inside. When Bobby opened up the door, she was in full pregame mode. Her room smelled like a mix of stale beer and something sweet, maybe from the vape that she had in her hand. She greeted me with this drunken smile and a sloppy hug. We sat in her room for a while, downed a couple of beers, and even did a shot of vodka. Bobby seemed to be on another level that night, way more wild than usual. I hoped she wasn't going to black out soon, but I wasn't so sure. After a bit, I suggested we head out before it got too late. She agreed, though she was already wobbling when we got to my car. The drive wasn't that far, just a couple of miles to the party itself, but Bobby kept pulling from a flask in her purse and taking swigs. Halfway there, she popped a pill, just out of nowhere. I wanted to say something to tell her to slow down, but I didn't, and I should have. When we arrived and got to the house, it wasn't the usual crowd. Bobby had told me some of her work friends were throwing the party, and I definitely didn't recognize most of the people there. There were a few familiar faces from campus, but the rest seemed to be her coworkers, restaurant people, by the sound of it. They were a different breed, loud, already drunk, and just super rowdy. I tried to make the best of it, grabbed a drink, and hung out in the corner. Just watched Bobby spiral. She was out of control, stumbling around the house, barely able to even string sentences together. At one point, she started calling me by some other guy's name. Her ex, I kind of figured. The more I tried to help her, the more she pushed me away, yelling and laughing like it was all some kind of big joke. The party guests didn't really seem to mind. In fact, some of them seemed to enjoy watching her unravel. It was almost like a game to them, and I was the odd man out. I knew it was time to go, but getting Bobby to leave was a complete nightmare. She did not want to go. She did not want to leave that party, didn't want to be around me, and kept calling me by her ex's name. It took almost an hour of convincing, and finally I got her back into my car, buckled her up in the passenger seat, and we were finally on our way. That's when things went from bad to worse. The second we pulled out of the driveway, Bobby starts losing it. She was hitting me, not hard, but enough to throw me off. Her voice slurring as she screamed at me, asking me where we were going, demanding I take her back. I tried to stay calm, told her we're heading back to her dorm, but she was not listening. She kept yelling and hitting me, her fists connecting with my shoulder, my arm, and even the side of my head. "Where are you taking me?" she shrieked, her voice hitting a pitch that made my ears ring. "Home, Bobby," I said through gritted teeth, trying to keep the car steady. "Taking you home." "Liar," she screamed. "You're lying, just like him." I didn't even have time to ask her who she meant, because that's when she did the unthinkable. Out of nowhere, she lunges at the steering wheel, grabbing it with both hands and yanking it to the side. The car swerved violently, tires screeching as I fought to regain control, but it was no use. The car jerked one way, then the other before flipping over. I remember the sound of glass shattering, that sensation of weightlessness as the world just spun around me, and then nothing. When I came to, everything was blurry. I had blood in my eyes, on my hands, and I could hear voices in the distance, muffled, but they were getting closer. I tried to move, but my whole body ached. Slowly, I turned my head and saw Bobby climbing out of the wreckage. She was still drunk, still incoherent, but somehow she was on her feet, staggering towards the flashing lights of the emergency vehicles, waving her arms and shouting. "He was drunk!" she slurred, her voice a mix of desperation and almost triumph. "He crashed the car, and he hit me." I couldn't believe what I was hearing, my mind racing, trying to piece everything together, but all I could focus on was the fact that she was just flat out lying. The paramedics and police officers reached the scene, and before I know it, I was being pulled from the car, hands gripping my arms as they checked me for injuries. But the way they looked at me, it was like I was the criminal. "She says you were driving under the influence," one of the officers said, his voice cold and distant, "and that you assaulted her." I tried to speak and tell them what really happened, but the words wouldn't come out. My mouth was dry, my head was spinning. All I could think about was, how is this happening? For the next 45 minutes, I found myself trapped in a nightmare. Question after question, accusation after accusation. Nobody believed me, and I guess why would they? Bobby was playing the victim perfectly. Still drunk, but convincing enough. It wasn't until they searched her purse and found that bottle of pills that things slightly start to change. Finally, after what felt like an eternity, they let me go. The charges were dropped, and Bobby, well, I never saw her again after that. I blocked her on all social media. Cut ties with anybody that knew her. My car was totaled, the insurance paid out, and it should have been the end of it. Just a bad memory that I could push away, right? But sometimes I still get that feeling like I'm not alone, like somebody's watching me through my phone. And every now and again, I'll get a Snapchat notification from a name that I don't recognize, and I never open it. I can still feel the bruise under my right eye sometimes, a dull ache that comes and goes when the weather changes. It's been years since that night, but I'll never forget it. or the way it all spiraled out of control because of a stupid app. It started so innocently, just like any other night. I had the day off, which meant I didn't have to deal with the grind at the movie theater, so when Bryce texted me about a party, I jumped at the chance. I'd heard about it through a few friends on Snapchat, some random college house party, and one of those places where you didn't really need an invitation. Just enough cash for gas and maybe a pack of beer, if you wanted to show some class. Bryce, Lane, and I were ready to blow off some steam, so we piled up into Bryce's old Civic and headed out. We drove through the maze of identical suburban streets, past rows of split-level homes with their tidy lawns and minivans parked in the driveways. And then, as if by magic, we found it. The house that was absolutely bumping with people and music. You could hear the bass from the car, vibrating the windows as we rolled up. There were groups of college kids spilling out into the yard, drinks in hand, laughter, and shouting over the music. It was the kind of place that you daydream about when you're stuck in some boring lecture, counting down the minutes until the weekend arrived. We find a parking spot, hopefully where nobody would give us a ticket, and then made our way inside. The door was not even locked. It swung open as we approached, almost like the house itself was welcoming us into the chaos. The place was packed, bodies moving through the halls, some clustered in the living room where a group was playing some drinking games. Others swayed to the music that thumped from a speaker. I couldn't see, but somebody shoved a red plastic cup into my hand. Didn't even have time to ask what it was. Beer, whiskey, rum, who cares? I was here to have a good time. We recognized a few familiar faces in the crowd, some of them classmates. A couple of people we'd seen at other parties, but mostly it was strangers. That's kind of how these things go. An eclectic mix of people, just looking to cut loose and have a good time. I took a sip from my cup, the taste of cheap beer hitting my tongue as I followed Bryce and Lane deeper inside the party. They were already looking for trouble. Within minutes, they found themselves in the middle of a heated beer pong match, both of them going neck and neck with some other guys who clearly had been practicing. I stood on the sidelines, cheering them on and laughing every time Lane tried to distract the other team with some ridiculous dance move. It was all fun. The kind of carefree night I've been looking forward to all week. At some point, my cup ran dry, and I decided to make my way back to the keg for a refill. I pushed my way through the crowd, squeezing past people in various states of drunkenness, trying not to spill what little was left in my cup. And that's when it happened. She bumped into me. She was drunk, but not in the sloppy, I can't stand right way. No, she was just kind of loose. Her arm slipped around mine like we were old friends, like it was almost the most natural thing in the world. Her body pressed against mine as we half danced, half walked towards the keg, her laughter ringing my ears. I don't even know her name, but at the moment it didn't really matter. I was caught up in it, the music, the haze of alcohol that buzzed through my system. We reached the keg and I refilled my cup and then hers. We locked eyes, and before I knew what I was doing, we were doing one of those ridiculous beer-chugging poses, our arms intertwined as we tilted our cups back. The crowd around us, when there had been a crowd, started cheering, egging us on as we raced to finish. The beer was cold and bitter, but I didn't care. All I could focus on was the roar of people around us, the way her body moved with mine as we downed those last drops. And then as we both finished and slammed our cups down in victory, she kissed me. It wasn't a shy peck either, it was a full-on right on the mouth, as if we'd known each other forever. I wasn't shocked, it was a party after all. These things happen. I kissed her, just for a second and then… flash. Even through my closed eyes I saw a burst of light, and when I opened them, I saw the crowd had formed a circle around us, cheering us on. Half of them had their phones out, recording the moment, capturing it forever in these grainy pixels and shaky frames. She pulled away giggling, and before I could say anything, she vanished into the crowd, lost in the sea of faces. I stood there, blinking in the harsh light of all those phones, feeling dazed, but it was fine. It was all just part of the night. I finished my drink and shrugged it off, made my way back to Bryce and Lane. They'd lost their game by one cup and were already setting up for another. I told them about the girl, about the kiss, and they both laughed, clapping me on the back like I'd won some kind of prize. The rest of the night just blurred together. More drinks, more games, more faces that I didn't know. By midnight, I was ready to call it quits. I still had to work the next day after all. The last thing I needed was to be hungover at the theater. Bryce and Lane were in the same boat, so we downed one more beer and then all headed out. I don't really remember too much of the drive back, just the hum of the car engine and the dull throb of a growing headache. Bryce dropped me off at my dorm, and I let myself in, collapsing onto my bed without even bothering to change out of my clothes. I was out within minutes. The next morning, I woke up to the sound of my phone buzzing. Groggy, I rolled over and grabbed it, squinting at the bright screen. It was a Snapchat notification. Somebody had added me. Spring Rose 19. I frowned, trying to remember if I'd given anybody my username the night before. Then it hit me. The girl, the one from the party. She must have asked around, got my name from somebody there. That wasn't weird, right? People did that all the time. I shrugged it off and opened up my message. "Have fun last night?" it read. I smiled, still half asleep, and typed back, "Yeah, I did. I hope you did too." I tossed my phone aside and got ready for work, pulling on my uniform for the theater. It wasn't until I was brushing my teeth again that I heard that buzz, another message. I checked it, this time a photo. It was a picture of us at the keg, locked in with that stupid beer-chugging pose, right before the kiss. It didn't give me much thought. People took pictures all the time at parties. Somebody must have sent it to her. I sent a quick message back. "Nice pic. What's your name, by the way?" "Rose," she replied. "Rose, of course it was." I finished getting ready and headed out, my phone buzzing periodically with new messages from Rose. As I drove to work, I found myself replying without really thinking. She seemed to be pretty easy to talk to. Classes, my job. I told her that I was a student, I worked at the theater, and I'd be there all day. By the time I clocked in, I felt like I knew her, or at least I felt comfortable enough that I didn't mind sharing little details about myself. It's funny how quickly you feel like you can connect to somebody through a screen. The day dragged on, the usual monotony of handing out popcorn and tearing tickets. It wasn't until around noon that things got kind of weird. I was working the concession stand, minding my own business, when a guy walked up to the counter. He was older, probably in his 30s, greasy hair, faded jacket that looked like he hadn't been washed in weeks. He didn't order anything, just stood there, staring. "Hey, can I help you?" I asked, forcing a smile. "You're, insert my name, right?" My smile faltered. Yeah. "Do I know you?" He didn't answer, just kept staring. His eyes flicked up and down like he was sizing me up. I felt a chill run down my spine. Something was off about him, something I couldn't quite put my finger on. You go to my college, right?" he asked. I nodded. "Yeah, do you?" He didn't answer again. Instead, he leaned closer, resting his hands on the counter. "How's Rose doing?" My blood turned to ice. How the hell did this guy know about her? I opened up my mouth to say something, but the words never came. This was all weird. Before I could react, he gave me this slow, unsettling smile and then walked away, disappeared into the crowd. I stood there for a moment, trying to process what had just happened. Maybe it was just some guy from the party, somebody who'd seen me with Rose. Maybe it's nothing. But the way he said her name, the way he just looked at me. I shook it off, finished my shift, and then headed out to the parking lot. That's when I saw it. There, scrawled across my windshield, in bright red lipstick, were two words. "You're next." I stood frozen in place, staring at those words smeared across my windshield. "You're next." The letters were sloppy, almost rushed, but the message was unmistakable. A surge of adrenaline shot right through me as I scanned the parking lot, eyes darting between the rows of parked cars. It was broad daylight out, but suddenly everything felt darker, more oppressive. I fumbled for my phone, hand shaking, thumb swiped across the screen as I brought up a message thread with Rose. Me. Who the hell is this guy? What guy? Don't play dumb, the guy from earlier, he knows about you. A reply came almost instantly. Don't worry about it, just get in your car and leave. The casualness of her response just sent this chill through me. How did she know I was standing by my car? My head spun. Something wasn't right. I needed to get out of there, fast. I shoved my phone in my pocket and then turned back to my car. And that's when I saw him. Across the parking lot, standing between two cars, was that same greasy-haired guy from the concession stand. He's much closer now, watching me with those same predatory eyes. His hands were jammed into the pockets of that dirty jacket. He took a step forward. His movements were slow and deliberate, like he had all the time in the world. I quickly unlocked the car, heart racing. Just as I reached for the handle, a voice stopped me. Hey man, you good? I looked up to see Bryce jogging over. He worked at the restaurant right around the corner, so occasionally we would link up in the parking lot after work. Relief washed over me for a split second, but then I remembered what I'd seen. Dude, there's this guy. Before I could finish, Bryce glanced up towards where the man had been standing, but now that space between those cars were empty. He was gone, just like that. What guy? Bryce asked. I scanned the parking lot again. He was just right there. He's been following me or something. He knew my name and then asked about the girl from last night. Bryce's expression darkened. Haha, alright, you sure you didn't imagine that? Maybe somebody's just messing with you, dude. I shook my head. I swear, man, he was right there. Look at my windshield. I pointed to the smear of lipstick, the ominous message gleaming under the midday sun. I mean, it was undeniable. Something weird is going on. I just didn't really know at what level yet. Bryce's eyes narrowed as he looked at it, but before he could say anything, I heard the sound of footsteps behind me. Heavy footsteps. I barely had time to turn around before something hit me hard, right in the back, sending me stumbling forward into Bryce. Pain exploded across my shoulders as I hit the ground, scraping my hands on already rough asphalt. Bryce shouted, but it was far too late. Whatever was about to happen was already in motion. That greasy-haired guy was on me, his breath hot and sour as he grabbed me by the collar of my shirt and yanked me back to my feet. My vision blurred as he slammed me into the back of the car, the impact knocking the wind out of me. Before I could react, he punched me in the nose and I lost my vision. I gasped for air, my chest heaving as the guy leaned in close, his face masked in fury. "Told you, didn't I?" he said. "You're next." I tried to push him off, but that dude was stronger than he looked. His hands were like iron vice grips, gripping my shirt. My mind raced, desperate for some kind of escape, but everything was foggy, distant. I could hear Bryce shouting still, but his voice seemed very far away, muffled by the pounding in my head. I felt my phone fall out of my hand. I remembered I had my own body. I wasn't helpless. The guy raised his fist, and I braced myself for the hit. I brought my hands up and even tried to push him away. But before he could swing, Bryce came barreling from the side, tackling him to the ground with a force that made the pavement tremble. The two of them went down hard, gripping in a tangle of limbs and fists. I stumbled back, clutching my side, trying to catch my breath. For a moment, it did look like Bryce had the upper hand. He was bigger, stronger, and he pinned that guy down, landing a few solid punches to the face. But the greasy-haired man was relentless. His eyes were wild and filled with something dark and completely unhinged. He twisted under Bryce, grabbing a chunk of his jacket and yanked, flipping Bryce over with this brutal force that sent him crashing into the side of my car. Bryce grunted in pain, and before he could recover, the guy was now on him, fist hammering down with this vicious precision. I tried to move and tried to help him, but uncooperative. But my mind screamed at me to do something, anything, but my legs were like lead. It felt like I was trying to move underneath this weighted blanket. Then out of the corner of my eye, I saw it, a long wrench, half hidden under the car next to mine. I lurched toward it, my fingers closing around that cold metal. The weight of it gave me confidence. Solid. I gripped it as tightly as I could. This wasn't how I envisioned my workday going, and not what I wanted to do at all, but I knew in my heart, this was the only option. Without thinking, I swung. The iron connected with a sickening crack against the back of that guy's head. He froze, his body going rigid for a split second before he crumpled to the ground, now motionless. Bryce scrambled back, his eyes wide with shock as he stared at the man laying between us. He had a little blood trickling from his lips and nose. I dropped the wrench with my hands trembling like leaves in the wind. The parking lot was now eerily silent, the chaos of fighting dissipating into a heavy, oppressive stillness. There were cars still in motion behind us. The movie theater was a busy street, but still, apparently nobody saw. No one stopped to help. It was isolating and unsettling. Bryce looked at me with his voice shaking. "Dude, what the hell just happened?" Turned out Rose had a boyfriend, or at least so this guy thought. I'm not exactly sure of their connection, but Rose and that greaseball from the parking lot had been friends at some point. Whatever the relation was, greaseball fell hard for Rose, who had no interest in dating him. So he stalked her, admired her from afar. When he saw the pictures going round of her and I kissing at the party, he figured out who I was, then reached out to me via Snapchat. The guy just simply lost it, decided he needed to fight for his woman. Bryce and I ended up being alright for the most part. That other guy spent the night in the hospital. Fortunately for me, there wasn't any charges to press. It was essentially his word against ours, as all the phone evidence had been auto-deleted via Snapchat. The police gave me an order of protection. He told the greaseball to keep his distance from me, Bryce, and Rose. And that was that. I took an extended, serious break from all social media, scrubbed all my contacts to make sure everybody was real, and slowly and surely took control of my life again. The lamest part, I never even saw Rose again. Never even heard from her. Not even once.
I'm a female, and this is something that happened a while back when I was in high school. It was almost 10 years ago, and this was pretty early on into the school year. So randomly one day, I saw that I got added by somebody new on Snapchat. I looked, and it was a guy named Michael something, but I didn't recognize his last name at all. So I did not add him back, and I deleted it. Just a few days later, I got added on Snapchat by him again, and once more, I deleted him. However, probably just a few days after the second time that I deleted the guy, I realized that he was actually in one of my classes and went to my school. I had never talked to him before, and he sat in the back middle of one of my classes while I sat towards the front and one side. So I would never really notice him much, but I did recognize him. He was a new student in the school, and prior to that class, I had never seen him before. Well, he added me again for a third time. This time, I decided to add him back, just because I knew that he went to my school now and that he was new. I still did not know anything about him other than that. I was surprised, though, that he kept adding me, even after I would not add him back. Well, finally adding him was something that I would quickly regret. I think it was the very next day, early on in the school day, and he sent me a picture of himself. It was just a basic selfie, pretty much, with no words. I responded sending one back, but he then sent me like 5 random pictures. We were both in different classes at the time. Some he took of other students, and others were just of the floor and whatever. I opened them up and did not reply because it seemed kind of weird. Later on in the day, we had the class that we were in together. This teacher did not like it when students would be on their phone during class, so I did not go on my phone at all during the class until the very end when we were done and all waiting for the bell to ring. When I did, I saw that there were tons of notifications on Snapchat from this Michael guy. I looked, and he literally sent me at least 20 pictures. I opened them all, quickly going from one to the next. They were all pictures of me that he took from where he was sitting. I found this pretty creepy. After opening them all and not responding, I decided to confront him in person. The bell rang at that point, but I caught up to him outside of the classroom in the hallway. I asked him why he had taken so many pictures of me in class. He just stood there not saying anything. I told him I thought it was really weird, and I was going to tell him not to do it again, but before I could, he just turned and ran away. It was very strange. Michael was now seeming like sort of a creep to me, and I decided to delete him on Snapchat, so I did. A few days went by, and I saw him in class, but didn't talk to him or anything. Then he added me on Snapchat again for a fourth time. This time, I blocked him. I really wanted nothing to do with the guy. Well, that very same day, I left school when it was over. I drove to and from school and had a car during this time. I remember that I left school, and when I was on my way home, I noticed that Michael was driving behind me. I had never noticed this before and was immediately suspicious. When I made it about halfway home, he was still behind me. I didn't think that he lived near me, and I figured that based on his previous behavior, he was possibly following me. When I had made it almost all the way home, he was still there, and after making it less than a mile from my house, I did not want to go any further, so I pulled over to the side of the street. Michael slowed down in his car but did not pull over. He ultimately drove past me and kept going. Then I went home. I didn't really know what to do about this whole deal. Over the next few days, I noticed Michael in class and I completely ignored him. Luckily, he didn't try talking to me or anything. He also did not add me again on Snapchat or try following me home. And probably a week or two after this, I stopped seeing him in class. Eventually, I asked around and I found out that he apparently changed schools or something. I'm glad that he did. That whole situation is something that I would like to forget.